Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 15. And reading from verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our examples," or our learning, "that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you might be with one mind and one mouth glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have assembled to hear thy word tonight and to fellowship and communion around your word. Knowing, Father, as we commune with thee, the communion table is open. And Father, we just pray that your divine presence would be with us tonight and see us through, Lord. And we just commit this service now to thy great and wonderful loving care and thy wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I actually had two messages prepared for tonight, not knowing really what to present, but I think I'll present the questions and answers on the Godhead, the finishing up of those tomorrow. And tonight I have just a short message then, and it's dealing with this patience, because we read, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And if you turn back with me to Romans chapter 5, we read, "Therefore, being justified by faith, by revelation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, by revelation, into this grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in that hope of the glory of God." So, in both places, Paul is talking about an earnest expectation, a hope. And he says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience." Now, the word experience there is a Greek word which means character. So the tribulations, or the trials and tests that you go through, the main purpose of them is to bring you into a patient understanding. It's to work patience in you, and thus experience, which is character. And then he says, "And experience," or character, "will bring forth an earnest expectation. And this earnest expectation, this hope, will make you not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, the purpose for communion is that we have a self-examination take place during the communion process, procedures. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read where Paul tells us that we should examine ourselves. He says, verse 26, "For as often as you eat," let's go back to 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself," that not just men, but women too, children too, "but let a man examine himself," "and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick and weakly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, you should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we would not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now notice Paul is telling us that the purpose of the communion is to come to commune. The breaking of the body, the breaking of the bread represents the breaking of the Son of God's body. The drinking of the wine represents the pouring out of His blood. And Paul says it should be a time of great examination. We should be examining ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Now, Brother Branham said from the message identification, he said, "Now you can judge. That won't make nobody judge you. You judge yourself." Remember, Paul said, if we judge not ourselves, he said, we should judge ourselves. He said, we need to examine ourselves. And so Brother Branham says, you judge yourself. See, nobody's judging. I'm not passing any judgment. But let's just reflect. See how it reflects from some characters of the Bible as we mention them. And see what your character is at this present time. Now notice, the Word creates character. We know that. And now we look into His mirror and identify ourselves by some person in this Bible. So we ask ourselves, we all go through trials. We all have certain things we go through on a daily basis. We have certain weaknesses in our flesh. And we need to go into the Scripture and say, all right, who am I identified with? Why do I have these things? Who is it that I'm identified with? How did they overcome? And there's only one means of overcoming, and that's through the blood of the Lamb. In Romans 5, he said, patience works experience, which is character. Patience works experience. From the same message, Brother Branham said, the Word molds God's character to us. How does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to the Word. You're washed, or you're cleansed by the washing of water, by the Word. And he goes on, he says, and anything that's tried to be mixed with that character, it breaks the mold. You can't mix creed with Word. You can't mix the world with the Word. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon means the world. You cannot be one or the other. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Is that true? Then you see, you can't mix it. From the message Absolute, Brother Bram said, man's not measured by how much his biceps are or how big a muscles that he has, but he's measured by his character. And that's exactly right. And character comes from the Word of God and that alone. And any preacher that claims to be a preacher and deny that Word, there's little character of God there to me. Amen. Maybe some hopes, if you will listen a while, yeah. Now, I don't want to get critical with you. I love you, and I mean that. But that's my absolute, brethren, the Word. Thus saith the Lord, you know that that's true. So what are we looking at then? Well, here we sit, a very small group of people, in the midst of maybe a million people in the greater Cincinnati area. And yet, you won't find the character of God outside this message. It's impossible. Because the character of God is reflected through His Word. Jesus was the character of God expressed. He was the expression of God. Let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ. He said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. It's not what I say, it's what He told me to say. It's not my actions, it's what He told me to do. The Father worketh, and the Son worketh hitherto. In fact, Brother Branham says from God's identifying himself, he said he was certain in everything that he did. The Bible didn't give an uncertain sound. It identifies the character or the characteristics of God in its standing. And Jesus said in St. John 10 and verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, and I don't have that character of my Father, then don't believe me. They are the one. They identify his character in me, his characteristics, because the Father is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the characteristics of God is displayed by his promise for that age. Now, what is the promise for this age? I mean, there's several, but what is our main hope right now? What's that? Okay, a change of our bodies, resurrection for those that have gone on, change of the bodies, catching away. Now, can we receive that without the character of Christ in us? Then what is the message to be doing for you? It's to be molding you. Now, it would be wonderful if we had a church of, you know, a few hundred people. We'd have a lot of fellowship and everything else. But I would dare to say that if we had a lot of people, you wouldn't have the trials that you have today with having very little fellowship. And you take your stand for the Word and you have even less fellowship. You see what I mean? It's easy to go in a pack. Wild animals do that. But to stand alone, to stand with God. When the rest of your family is going different directions, when the rest of your friends are going different directions, when your neighbors are going different directions, and there you stand. Sometimes you feel like, am I the only one? Like Elijah did. And yet there's a handful of people scattered about throughout the greater Cincinnati area, and for that around the world, for that essay. But a little flock here. One here. One there. One here. One there. They come from the east, the north, the west, the south. One here, one there. Not great throngs. Not great numbers. And they come. Can you imagine being Noah? In Noah's hour. Noah preached for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness. All the while, building an ark. The people once thought he was crazy because he didn't build the ark at the ocean. He didn't build the ark on some great lake. He built the ark up in a mountain. And there it came to rest after the flood as well. Noah stood alone. Remember the message we preached? A peculiar God with a peculiar message to a peculiar people. That's what Paul calls us. We are a chosen people, a peculiar people. And yet we see that the trials, he says that the trials, that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, character, and character works forth in you an earnest expectation. From the message, Smyrna Church Age, Brother Bram said, why does he stand by? The reason is in Romans 8 and 17 to 18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If we suffer with him. How many of you really are suffering? How many of you have been tortured for the gospel? How many of you have been resisted unto blood? How does your suffering then come? Michael, how does your suffering for the gospel come? Is it by being crucified? Is it by being nailed to a cross? Is it by having neighbors throw rocks in your windows? How does your suffering come? I would say probably most of the time. Most of the time. I mean, when I'm considering all of us. Most of the time, by rejection. Is it you, the person? Is it Michael, the general do-everything that gets rejected? Or is it Michael, the Christian, that's walking with God, that gets rejected? You see what I mean? What is that doing? It's laying up within you a treasure. A treasure which maybe we don't quite understand at this point. But as I said before, if we had a church of 10,000 people here, and this is kind of the church of what's happening now, like a lot of churches are, and even in the message they are, what trials would you have? Got a good job? Enjoy your job? Come to church, you got a lot of fellowship, great choirs, great orchestra, everything seems to be great, got great income, lots of friends. What trials do you have? What character then is being shaped? You see the importance of how God shapes character. Of the 12 apostles, who had the greatest character? Not counting Judas, he was gone. I'm talking about afterwards when God chose Paul. Who had the greatest character? Paul. Why? Paul didn't have the other 11. Paul was alone. Paul worked, he toiled, he rigored. And the very character of Christ was developed in him after Paul went off the scene. Who had the greatest character among the apostles? It's hard to say. Peter was certainly accepted more than others. John was rejected even by the other apostles for kind of being a hothead, son of thunder. John pastored Ephesus. There was 11 people, or 8 people. 8 people. He didn't even say 8 brothers. He said 8 people. This great man of God we know as John kind of had a chip on his shoulder. At least that's what the world would say. You know, like the world says, well, we don't want Paul's teaching because he was a woman hater. They don't say John was a woman hater, but they say, you know, John kind of had an attitude. I mean, you know, he identified Judas as being the one who held the bag. John was a loner. The words of Polycarp explains when John went into a bathhouse with one of the disciples, I believe it was Polycarp. John turned to him and said, there's Marcus. He says, we better get out of here lest the wrath of God come down upon this place and the roof fall in while we're here. You see, John was not a non-compromiser with the word. And because of that, he walked alone, had very few people to fellowship with. We always desire, wouldn't it be great to live in the days of the apostles? You are. You are. Just in the 21st century. Alpha is repeating in Omega. It's no different today than it was then. They were closed then, they were closed now. They ate food then, they eat food now. They traveled some then, they travel some now. And the rejection was then, the rejection is now. The apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ fought the good fight. Now why would they have to fight a good fight? You would think that the people that became Christians on the day of Pentecost, the 3,000, where were they at the end of the Ephesian church age when there was only 8? There had to be a falling away then, and there was. He said that they left their first love. Therefore, there is a falling away in this hour. They've left their first love. Do you think they had a lot of fellowship? Maybe those stayed in Jerusalem until they had to flee Jerusalem. When you look at the end of the first church age, the church didn't grow and grow and grow. It seemed to get smaller and smaller and smaller, the real true church. And there's a lot of false that rose up and came against those apostles. It's like today, men will quote the church age book. Yeah, they'll use it as an absolute. And yet they deny the man who wrote it. And they say he doesn't know what he's talking about. And yet they'll use his own words to quote and turn right around and say he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, does that make sense to you? But John butted heads with Hymenaeus and Alexandrus. Paul butted heads with Demas and different ones. Peter butted heads with Simon the sorcerer and different ones. Paul called them false brethren coming in. And so there never was, in reality, a large number. And there never will be a large number when it comes to the seed of God. Unless you take from all the ages put together, and it'll seem a large number, but when you compare it to the hosts that will be encamped against it, it's minuscule. So we're talking about character. And I'll just leave you with these thoughts tonight. I told you it would be a short one, but I think a good one. Because if we tell you too much, your minds will get clogged down. We tell you just enough to make you think. Think about your own situation. And the next time you feel lonely, rejoice. Lift up your hands and praise God for considering you with this great trial to build the character that He placed in His Son Jesus in you. Remember, Jesus, when He was feeding the multitudes, they loved it. But one day He said, you know, you're just coming for the food. He said, I know your real motives. And so then He spoke the word very hard. They all left Him. Then He spoke again, and the 70, the close associates, the 70 that were close associates, ministers, they left Him. Then He turned to the 12 and said, one of you is a devil. And Peter said those most notable words, where could we go? Where could we go? For thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And yet Jesus, instead of patting him on the back and saying, well, I've been waiting, I've been testing, I've been kind of waiting for you guys to say that, He ripped into him. He said, you know, Peter, you'll deny me 3 times before it's all over. Yeah, blessed art thou, Simon, because God has revealed this to you. Man didn't. But you know what? You're going to deny me as well. Now, you won't reject me, but you will deny me to save your own skin. Did Peter then, at that point yet, have the character of Christ in him? No. He said, when you are converted, Peter, strengthen the brethren. When you're born again, truly born again, Peter, then strengthen the brethren. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with Him, we cannot reign with Him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And since He wants us to share even His throne on the same basis that He overcame and is set down with His Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with Him. And the little temporary sufferings that we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when He comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter His kingdom through much tribulation. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your words, because they are truly words of encouragement. We can look at our own life. We can look at our own situation. We can see where our suffering does come from. It doesn't come because we're physically and verbally abused, but it comes from a rejection, from a lonely walk, from people not wanting to walk with us. The problem for them is that we are walking in the light and we're having fellowship with you. And by them choosing not to walk with us, they have chosen not to walk with you. And that's their reward. So Father, we just commit, Lord, our walk, knowing that the further and further we come into Christ, the further hidden we are from the world. And the lonelier the walk becomes. And so Father, we ask that that loneliness would not be felt in the soul, nor in the spirit, perhaps sometimes in the flesh. But truly, Lord, may we realize that we are truly walking with the King. And now to the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.